The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. We've been with you now for years in this time slot, trying to help you as much as we can, help you get a job, help you be successful in your career, help you be better at what you do, more compelling, more persuasive. We've had sales training institutes. We've had every workplace topic on this show, and we've even had companies that come on and recruit you right here on the airwaves. Today, we're going to talk about another interesting subject. Actually, last week, if you tuned in last week, we had a great show that was all about leveling the playing field for disabled people, people with disabilities. In fact, in this case, it was developmental disabilities. I had a little trouble pronouncing it last week, but I got through it. And it was a good show. And what I said at the open of last week's show is that if an organization ever comes to me and says they're doing something great for a part of the population that sometimes has difficulty finding a job, like, for example, veterans, another area, that I would be happy to have them on the program. So sure enough, this week, we're talking once again about veterans and a great event coming up and a great program being offered by the PMI Institute, that's PMLIC. We have with us James Kittle, who is a fantastic guy, got his radio start here on Radio Jobline. He'll tell you that story in a minute. And we also have Captain Ed Vera, a supply officer for the 1st Marine Corps District. Ed has served in the Marine Corps for over 17 years and has served in different logistics positions and billets throughout his career. His current duties include providing supply and logistical support for all Marine recruiters in the Northeast, including purchasing, contract, and inventory management support. And he volunteers, and that's what the show is about, as the Veterans Outreach Coordinator for the PMI Long Island Chapter, assisting veterans in obtaining a project management certificate. I'm going to let James explain what a project management certificate is and why it's so useful and valuable. But first, James, let's talk about your podcast and what happened. You graduated from Radio Jobline, started your own podcast, had it for some time, even had me as a guest.
That's right. Well, not exactly just my podcast. That was a 50-50 endeavor, myself and Brian Wagner, who was also with the Project Management Institute. And that's right. We were here on your show, and we left the show and went over to Starbucks, and we were all fired up, and we were like, wow, that was so much fun. And then we were like, we should do a podcast. And then we did. We got that put together, and that was a scope of success. And we put together, I think, 60, maybe more than 60 episodes. Mm-hmm. We're on a little bit of a hiatus now. Brian has moved on from the Project Management Institute. So so one of the things I'm currently casting for is a host.
Mm.
So who knows?
So if you're a radio person.
Yeah.
And Berclute is, you know, so you could talk to her. But
yeah, there we go.
If you're a radio person looking for a gig, you can join our good friend James Kittle on his podcast.
Yeah. And you know, come and learn all about the Project Management Institute and things that we do.
All right. And we'll talk about one of the great things you do tonight. And also, James, give people some contact in case somebody is listening that would be loved to talk to you about this.
Let's see.
An email address?
That's a good question. They can reach out to, what do we have for a general like email address? I guess career. No, it wouldn't be career. Well, they could reach out to me, James Kittle at PMILIC.org. So it's JamesKittle at PMILIC.org.
All right. For you budding radio show hosts.
Yeah.
I could tell you, Brian was one funny guy. So
I think he still is a funny guy.
You need a sense of humor to join James on the air. That's for sure. And please say hello to Brian when you see him next.
I will.
And tell him I'm not happy that you guys have broken up.
We haven't broken up.
All right. the broken up the podcast.
Yes.
Now.
Well, we'll see about that.
All right.
Maybe we'll ride again for you, Scott.
All right. That sounds good. And I'll be your first guest again.
Yeah. That'd be terrific.
All right. So, Ed, tell me a little bit about what the mindset is of the, I know you're in the Marines, you know, coming out of the Marines. We sometimes want to do more for veterans than almost the veterans want done for them. You know, like we were talking before the show began, you and I, and you were telling me that some of the veterans organizations don't even have enough customers. you know, that to help, because there seems to be a disconnect between the veterans organizations out there to help them and the veterans themselves who don't know about these organizations.
Right. So as we were discussing before, just a lot of veterans coming out today don't really go and join the VFW or the Marine Corps League or any of the other types of organizations out there. And sometimes there's that generational disconnect. So what you see now is veterans coming back and they do get involved in the community and in government, but they have not really gone out and joined these organizations like as the numbers as you've seen before in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a disconnect, and I think it's really a disservice that they're doing themselves, because these organizations have been around for years, decades, and they really have done a lot to pave the way for the veterans that are here today. So I urge veterans now coming back, hey, join that local VFW. Give something back. Some of these guys have been, you know, they're Korean War veterans, Vietnam War veterans. They've been there, done that, and they have done a lot for us to kind of have a lot of the benefits that we have and are enjoying today. So please join the local chapter and give back.
I can't think of the names of the organizations, but over the years, we've probably had five or six veterans organizations on this radio show. You know, just the ones that support veterans and do employment. They do employment outreach and try to get them jobs and so on. And I guess some of the veterans need more help than others. You know, some come back and they're perfectly 100% and they're ready to go, and they go run for Congress, you know, and right. As well they should. Somebody needs to. So, you know, I'm very happy to hear that, but I'd like them more connected to the job market. I think that would be a great thing. And a PM, perhaps a project management certificate can help them get there.
Right. So another thing we were discussing before the show is just preparation. Mm-hmm. So you're in the service and you're thinking about leaving, or you know that your time is coming to an end, and you need to do the homework yourself and kind of do the proper preparation. So if you are facing, or you're in that situation where you think you're about to be separating from the service, go ahead and start doing some research on what career you would like to have afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then just start looking for to see which certifications are out there that will help you obtain those careers. So I think that's one of the things why I started doing this, is, you know, educating people on the project management certification, because that is something that once you obtain it and you have it on your resume and you can provide it for an employer, they see that, they know exactly what it means. They know what you can bring to the table, and it's a short shot way to get your resume seen and get called for an interview.
All right. So James, for those people that don't know what a project management certificate is and don't realize its value, you know, you've heard of it and so on, but why don't you give us the whole story of what's so great about having a project management certificate?
Well, I think there's a number of different, as a hiring manager, I can say that there are a few things that I look for. You want some qualities like, you know, demonstrated ability to work hard, demonstrated achievement. You know, and I think that actually puts veterans at an advantage right away. They're coming in, and you know that you're going to get somebody that is responsible enough to make it through Marine Corps training and have a vocation in the military, not necessarily the Marine Corps, but you know, that they have some work experience. I think what Ed's talking about here with the project management certificates is that demonstrates that you have some exposure to the principles of project management as a professional. Mm-hmm. And so those are going to be things like understanding, you know, that projects tend to follow a certain, you know, a certain scope or a certain set of processes. You become familiar with the nomenclature, just like the language of project management. So you can learn about what is, you know, scope creep, or, you know, what are the triple constraints, or any of these things. And PMI has a very good way of organizing the instruction in this, and then you have to take a test which demonstrates that you actually have studied these things, and the test consists of you know, obviously of questions about project management. And we, you know, those of us that have taken the test and have passed the test, we you know, we joke. I mean, if you work as a project manager, it's not the same as the questions that you get on the test, but it does demonstrate that, you know, Ed and I could sit here and talk about project management and be speaking the same language.
Right. Well, it's great stuff. You know, we forgot to do Cookie. We forgot to read our commercial. Joining us in the studio is Cookie Jean Baptiste, our intern, and she does a fabulous job coordinating our shows. We did a shout out for her last week because she was ill, had a little fainting spell, which I told her I did not allow my interns to have, so she got rid of that. Why don't you read a commercial for us?
Sure. BizShout is a global network to socially promote yourself or your business, which fits in between Facebook and LinkedIn as a business casual culture. For their first service, they built a new creative resume that can boost your professional brand to help land your dream job. It's free to design, and you should check them out at bizshout.com, spelled with two Z's.
This directly relates, Ed, to one of the great ways that some of your people coming into the job market can actually further themselves. This particular website we just talked about, they have a wonderful creative resume service that really allows you to have a signature on the web.
This is a great service. I actually just logged on my mobile phone here, and I've already gotten two offers.
That's proof positive.
It really works.
There you go. There's your endorsement, Charlie Lee. If you're listening, there's your endorsement. But anyway, I just think it's a great thing. It's something people don't know about. It's something you can introduce people to and say, hey, give it a try. Give it a try.
Absolutely.
But anyway, so we know what a project management certificate is. I'm going to ask you, Jim, to go just a little deeper about project management, because I still think it's a nebulous term, and forgive me for saying that, but in IT,
yeah,
there's project managers,
yeah,
and they're very specific about what they do.
Yeah.
However, a project manager could be at a construction site.
Yep.
A project manager could be just running a project in the accounting department of a big company.
Yep, could
you
be.
Know? So there's really, it's a term that's, I think, either overused or not clearly defined.
Yeah, well,
so,
probably both.
So tell us in specific, what does a project manager know? How are they more valuable in the job market?
Well, I think most project managers are very good at getting things done. And so that involves some skills in coercion, you know, like getting a team together and getting everybody focused and being able to accomplish tasks and goals, set goals, accomplish those goals. And you're right. I mean, in any different industry, this is going to be a valuable skill. But I think when we talk about, you know, what makes a project, it's something that has a start and an end. And that's what distinguishes it from anything else in business, which might be an operation or a standard operating procedure. So a project generally and most easily defined as something that has a certain start and a certain end. And people that are good at project management tend to be very good with people. I think you have to be a really great communicator. You have to be very good at motivating a team and doing so in a way which is non-authoritative. And that actually might be an interesting thing for you to talk about, Ed. Like, what is the difference? You know, in the military, if you get an order, you have to follow it. And there's a very clear chain of command. In projects, there's nobody in the room with less power than the project manager, at least in my experience. Mm-hmm. And so I can't just say, hey, do this or do that. Like, nobody's going to listen to me.
Well, actually, in the military, you'd be surprised how many times you are tasked with providing or completing a project of some sort, and you're really working with a bunch of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of your peers sometimes with other people that are higher ranking than you, but they're not even in your organization. So talk about setting up a training event, a multi-million dollar training event in an army base in your Marine unit. How do you communicate that? Who do you contact? How do you go about
doing
that?
Well, it fits the brand, but it fits the parameters James just gave.
Exactly.
It has a beginning and an end.
100%.
Right. So
but
and
cross collaboration also, and non-authoritative leadership, which is, I think, the point you make there. Like, you're not going to go and tell an army general, hey, you got to do this, but that might be exactly what you have to do. Is you have to find a way to influence people that are either not directly in your unit or above you in rank. And that's the same in business as well. I mean, it's identical. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do, is to help people understand on both sides of the equation, people that are in business and maybe don't have military experience, and people in the military that maybe don't have business experience, see that they're actually very often tasked with very similar types of work and very similar missions. And so we're trying to make that connection and help people understand
that. So let me, I know I interrupted you.
No,
go back to what you were saying, because it sounds to me like like the military is loaded with project managers. They just don't have a certificate.
Right. And that's why, as I started looking into this, I was like, you know, there's something that needs to be done. And I think that's just education, just, you know, educating people on, hey, there's certain certificate or certain certification that you can get out there. So that way, when you go and you separate from the service and you have that certification, that future employer can take a look at it and say, yes, that's what I need. Mm-hmm. I need somebody who can come in here, take over a project, get everybody on the same page, get my budget, you know, in order, and then proceed and deliver whatever that good or service is on time, within budget, and, you know, to meet the expectations of the customer. Mm-hmm. So I looking through it, in my experience, I think the military does have a lot of that, because we do that on a daily basis.
Right.
But when we, you know, when we separate from the service and we go and we try to communicate that, a lot of times employers are like, okay, show me some certification that says that you can do these things. And that's where the problem comes in.
So wouldn't it be great, Ed and James, if we could get the military to partner with some sort of a project management institute, whether it be ours or some other one, and actually offer the military, the people, a real certificate?
So I think nowadays there have been some talks about doing that, and it's in the very early stages of that happening. Right now, what there is out there is certain institutions, certain benefits that veterans can tap into in order to help them obtain a project management certification. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I do is I educate veterans on how to do that without tapping into their GI Bill. So that way they can leave their GI Bill in order to pursue a bachelor's degree, and then they can use those other benefits in order to pursue a project management certification. Mm-hmm. And then right there, you know, you're kind of a triple threat out there. You know, you've got military experience, a bachelor's degree, and a project manager.
Yeah, that is a triple threat. If you put a resume in front of me with those credentials, you know, 9 out of 10 times, maybe 10 out of 10 times, I'm gonna want to talk to that person, because those are very impressive credentials.
And you match it up with the standard job hunting stuff of being really prepared, knowing all about the company, knowing what the company uses, knowing its issues, its press releases. You know, now you're connecting into the mainstream job hunt, you know, which is not easy for anyone, but it might be a little easier for a project manager, because just like a project, it's got a beginning and an end, and it seems to fit the parameters. Finding a job is itself a project. You know what you taught me once, James?
Me?
I asked you to give me some of the elements of project management, and one of the first things you said, you didn't say it today, but you said it the last time, was benchmarking.
Okay.
So I started listening to you, James, and this is the horror of what I'm about to say, is that you actually taught me something. And when I now have a project to do, the first thing I do is look it up. What have other people done before? Why create the wheel if the wheel has already been created? So if I'm going to go after a whole bunch of, let's say I'm in business development mode in my company and I need to get some new clients. Well, I have to... Why not Google how do recruiters get new clients, and then look at some of the material that's out there, look at some of the success stories, and then begin. So now I've benchmarked it and I kind of know where it's at and where to frame my own project. So benchmarking, I think, was something that you taught me, and I've been using it steadily ever since you mentioned
it. Well, I think that is great advice.
It was great advice. Do you have any more tidbits from the project management handbook?
Well, I think what Captain Vera was saying beforehand about being prepared is really the best thing. And one of the other things that you said, Ed, was, you know, if you need to have a plan, and if you want to be a physician, if you want to be a pilot, you know, you can't just go and do that. There's a process. And, you know, in the example of being a physician, you're going to have to go to medical school. So how do you go to medical school? And there's an old adage, you know, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. So that first step really should be, you know, determining what it is that you want to do. And then, you know, like you say, Scott, you can benchmark that, you know, how do I become a physician? You know, how do I become a project manager? And, you know, or whatever it is, a radio host, you know, or how do I have a podcast? You know, you can do any of these things, but you do have to have a plan.
And you did very much do that when you started your podcast. You benchmarked it by being on a radio show and getting some mic time.
Yep.
And relatively saying to yourself, I think I like this and I'm going to try to move forward. And then you put up the steps, you took the right steps to build yourself a podcast. I'm very proud of you, James.
Yes. Well, thank you. I mean, we couldn't have done it without you, literally. And we did actually, we did manage to get some statistics. I think we had I think it was maybe more than 25 listeners.
Oh,
well, globally, 25 global listeners.
Well, hey.
So, and that was after 60 podcasts. So
right, right. It takes a while.
I guess so.
But you were promoting it on social media, weren't you?
Yeah,
sure. Because we get into an awful lot of news feeds with our promos. Thank goodness for we have a Cookie to do it.
We put it on the Twitter.
You're listening to Radio Jomline with Scott Possessor. I have with me the very, very delightful James Kittle, who makes me laugh all the time. And we have Captain Ed Vera, supply officer for the 1st Marine Corps. We're talking about a great event coming up that's going to help people with getting out of the service, get a project management certificate, and increase their ability to get a job. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, write to me, scottp118@gmail.com. Newsbreak coming up. Be right back.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. We just had a very interesting talk, if you just joined us, about veterans getting back into the workforce and possibly getting a project management certificate because they're already project managers. What do people in the military do if not projects every day? They get an order from above. They gotta set up a camp. They gotta do this. They gotta do that. Whatever it is, they handle it like a project. And I think they're great project managers. What they don't have is a diploma, a degree, a certificate. And so that's what we're talking about today. And I think the military should actually provide it, but that's not up to me to decide. But I think they should. And I think the PMI should go to the military, go to the top levels of the Department of Defense and say, we will give you the people that return home a project management certificate and get your money from the government.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no one listens to me. You know, I have a radio show, but I'm ignored. That's the problem.
You could run for president. You'd be the commander in chief. You could issue some kind of an order.
Yeah, that's a job I don't want. That is a job I don't want. Okay. Ed, you've got this great program going on. You know, tell us about it.
So for the Veteran Outreach Coordinator for Project Management, I try to educate veterans on how they can best utilize the benefits out there that different organizations provide so that they can obtain a project management certification, without using their GI Bill.
Mm-hmm.
So the GI Bill provides you with a stipend for books. It covers your tuition and it gives you housing allowance for a sergeant with dependents. Somewhere here in New York, in this area, that alone is worth about the benefits worth about $5,000 to $6,000 a month.
Mm.
And so the GI Bill covers 36 months of school.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go to school and you don't take summer vacation or winter break in 36 months, you'll have a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can use the GI Bill to obtain a project management certification to pay for it, but the thing is, they'll take a month away. So you're really using a sledgehammer to drive a nail. And so that's why I tell veterans, hey, just save that for your actual degree. Or if you want, pass it on to your children or your wife or whatever. And then use these other benefits in order to get this certification.
Okay. So tell us more about the program itself. How do people get involved in it?
Well, the program involves you going to website, which is through the... let me start over again. Mm-hmm. So for this program that we're doing right now, we're going to be setting up a class and kind of teaching veterans how to go about and get those and look for those benefits out there. Mm-hmm. So because there's so many different avenues, so it's not just one entity out there.
There's a lot of different project management certificates, and some are better than others, I will say as well.
Right.
I mean, obviously, Ed and I are at least myself, somewhat biased in that we think that PMI is really the gold standard of that. But there are many others, including certificates in different methods. Different parts of the world have different certification bodies. One of the great things that we offer with PMI LIC, which is so we're the Long Island chapter of the Project Management Institute. Project Management Institute is a global organization, but we're the local Long Island chapter. And you can come to one of our monthly chapter meetings, and you can meet myself or Captain Vera, any of the other members of the board, any of the other members, come to our meeting. You can come for free, which is a great way to just, there's no investment. You just come and kind of find out, like, hey, is this for me? Is this my tribe? Are these my people? And we hope you are.
Mm, interesting. I remember after I gave my little talk at one of the meetings there, somebody in charge, I don't remember his name, tall guy.
Wouldn't have been me.
Wouldn't have been, you weren't there.
I would miss on both of those things.
Well, you purposely left because I was giving a speech. So, he asked sort of a PMI question, right? And it went from sort of an easy breezy talk that I gave to a pretty complicated project management question. And everybody was going around the room and I'm going, gee, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, it's complicated.
That's our mentoring.
It has its own language. It has its own language.
It does. It does. It's like any career or vocation. We're all kind of doing the same thing and we kind of speak the same language. And what that is at the end of each meeting, we have something called a mentoring minute, which is where project managers can ask a question and then, generally it's the leader of the meeting that will offer some insight, but we also can collaborate and get the best answers in the room. So mm-hmm. it's a good place to get some professional help as well.
You also work for a place called WeWork.
Yes, I do.
And I know that they also have great interest in veterans. And tell us a little bit about the relationship you have with WeWork.
Yeah, well, I do work at WeWork. I'm not speaking on their behalf, though. I suppose I have to issue that disclaimer. But we are very serious about helping military veterans with, do what we call is our what we say is our mission is to raise the world's consciousness and help people to make a life, not a living. And we're very serious about that. And we have a number of programs that are available to veterans that either want to start their own business or come to work with us or come to, really just find their life's work. Mm. And you can learn more about that on our website. It's WeWork.com. You can just Google WeWork veterans. And there's a number of different programs that are available.
All right. So more companies, I think, are getting involved in this type of thing. I know Northwell is involved in it now. They have a pretty big program. They wanted to get on Jobline recently, but I didn't have room for them. But I think they're reaching out to veterans, too. And, are there other good organizations that veterans should be reaching out to, Ed?
Absolutely. And that's why I kind of wanted to be a little bit careful how I answered your question earlier, because it's not just there's a lot of resources out there, and it's just not a one-stop shop. So there's a... When I spoke about earlier on preparation as you're leaving the service, one of these organizations that's great, and I advise all veterans to do it, even if you're out of the service for some time, is American Corporate Partners. Now, this organization, you go to their website at www.acp/usa.org, or you can just Google American Corporate Partners, and you... fill out an application. You let them know what kind of field you want to go into. And somebody will call you. They'll ask you questions. And then what they do is they try to link you up with a mentor in that field that can answer any questions. And they will introduce you to at least three other individuals in that organization so you can network. So, for example, if you want to go into logistics field, they might link you up with somebody who does production for, manufacturing company, or somebody who does supply chain management for a retail store. And then it's a one-year program, and they give you, I did it, and they answered all my questions on, hey, what exactly do you look for in a person? They said, they went through the gamut of A through Z, what they look for. And I was asking them kind of like, hey, what sort of questions do you ask people who come in an interview? If I made it through the interview process, how can I impress you if I was on the other side of the table and you were asking me questions? And
those are great questions.
They really provided an insider view of what they look for. So that right there prepared me. So if I was going to go out there and look for a job, I already know, hey, if I'm going to talk to these individuals, this is kind of what I need to look out for. This is what they're thinking. So I know what to maybe ask questions at the ask smart, educated questions during the interview and be prepared for the type of questions that they're going to throw at me during that interview. So these are some of the things that I tell veterans you should do before you separate from the service. And then that way you'll be so much ready.
And you know, Scott, as anybody that interviews to hire people, one of the things that I always look for is I want the candidates to have questions. You know, right. Ask me questions. It demonstrates that you've done your homework, mm-hmm. that you're genuinely interested in the job.
If you don't ask questions on a job interview, you don't have a conversation. You have an interrogation. That's what I always say. In other words, if you're my candidate and I'm the interviewer, so basically for the whole hour I'm going to be firing questions at you. We don't have any rapport. Right. I'm just asking you a question and you're giving me an answer.
Yeah.
But it's when you start asking me questions that we enter into a conversation. And at that point, now you really can read me and know what kind of guy I am and what I'm thinking and how I frame things. So asking questions on a job interview is critical.
Yeah, be prepared. Have some questions and engage the person.
And you know what else I say, James? Do it from the inside. Ask a question based on something you just heard. That means you're intelligent. You're able to make a mental note of something, log it, put it away, bring it back out 15 minutes later, extrapolate a question from it. That demonstrates intelligence to me. So I tell all of my job candidates, don't just ask a question that's canned that you walked in with. Ask one that you're capable of extrapolating from the interview itself.
It's very good advice.
So there's my little tip. See, I give a tip on every show. Whether they want it or not, they get one tip. But okay, great stuff. So I want to get back to the mindset, Ed, of the veteran that's coming out of the service. Some of them, you know, take it pretty lightly. Some of them take it very seriously, and they want to get right into the job market. So what is going on? What is the mindset of the person who's getting out of the service?
At least, and I'm going to talk about my experiences and what I've seen, obviously, because I know one shoe doesn't fit all. Mm-hmm. So what I've seen a lot of times when people exit the services, they're really eager to go and attend college and go out there and get an education. But a lot of times, you're talking general population, mid-20s that, you know, these men, women are getting out. They have some unique experiences and they go to college and sometimes they just... they might have some trouble with the just kind of, you know, figuring all the stuff out that they need to. So I always tell them, I said, you know, just plan ahead and take it one day at a time and don't be afraid to reach out for help. Like I said, that's why I do these things. And I always give veterans just a couple of points of contacts or different organization like the one I just mentioned, mm-hmm. Corporate Partners. So that way they can seek that help and kind of prepare themselves better. And then that way, when they leave college, they're already set up for success for the next step. One thing I told a lot of my Marines when I was in California and they were talking about getting out was, if you're going to go to college, with the GI Bill, you can survive with the GI Bill on, you know, you don't have to go out there and get a job and go to college at the same time. So what I told them was, go to college, know what you want to get yourself into, get an internship on that career while you're in college. If they don't pay you, no big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, just live within your means. And then at the end of 4 years, you're going to have a degree. You're going to have your military experience that will never go away. And you're also going to have that internship with that company who is going to be relevant work experience that you're already going to have. And then if they don't give you a job, and that is one heck of a recommendation letter that they can write for you. Mm-hmm. And so you have that relevant work experience where a lot of college students might not have that opportunity. And you see a lot of college students going to college, working nights or working days and going to college at nights. So I tell my Marines, hey, you have an edge because you have
that's
some,
a big edge.
Yes. So, and these are some of the things sometimes. And like I said, sometimes they get caught up in the moment. They don't plan accordingly. And so that's why I tell everybody, just plan and make best use of your time.
One of my pet peeves with high school students and college students is they don't try hard enough to get internships. They kind of assume, oh, an internship, I'll never get one. I've heard them say it. I've seen that look on their face where they don't really believe that internships exist for them, and yet they do. We have Adelphi on the show constantly, and they have an internship program. A lot of colleges, the 19 colleges and universities, I bet all of them have an internship counselor that does outreach to get internships for the students. Because if you have a resume, here's what I tell people. If you have a resume and you're looking for a job, but you just got out of school and you have no internship connected to the job you're looking for, why should a company hire you?
Right.
I mean, you really don't have, you're not bringing anything to the table. So whether it's paid or unpaid, you got to have experience. You believe in this, right, James? Internships?
Oh, 100%. I mean, internships are really, really difficult to get now. I mean, they're very competitive. And I think what Ed is talking about there, that the advantage you're going to have if you're coming out of the military and you have the GI Bill, you can afford to work for free, basically, which
that's
something that not
Marines.
A lot of people can do.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know, like I said, with the GI Bill, they'll pay you your tuition, they'll give you a stipend for books, and then they'll give you housing allowance based on where the school is located. Mm-hmm. So it's competitive to the prices. For you to get an apartment or, you know, if you're really smart and you can get a roommate or something. Mm-hmm. So they can really set themselves up for success. But the key thing is, and I can't stress this enough, is preparation.
Okay.
Care about it, make a plan, and then execute that plan.
I saw something that this reminds me of what you were saying, Ed. I saw this on the internet, and we know the internet's always right. It says, a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Mm.
A goal without a plan is just a wish. So definitely have a plan. Have a project plan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. So what we also want to see now, if in addition to that experience, in addition to that project experience, project management experience, we also now are adding to that the internship. And we also now would love to add the project management certificate. Right. And I really think this is a great idea. Because I believe that people in the military are great project managers by design. They're trained to be that way. So we should help them get the certificate. And I think everybody that got out of, if everybody got out of the military had a project management certificate that was accredited, that everybody knew about, like an organization like PMI, I think they'd have an easier time finding a job. But also, you said something very interesting, Ed, that some of them do not have to go right to work. See, I'm thinking, I wasn't taking into account the GI Bill. I'm not thinking that they have money to go to college when they get out of the service.
Right.
I'm thinking they got to go right into the job market and they're just not ready.
Everybody's situation is different, but for the most part, a lot of the younger service men and women, they do go into college because they want to get a degree. Obviously, somebody who was married with children probably doesn't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. And you know, your plan has to shift. A little bit, but for the most part, a lot of the young folks that are getting out, they're in their mid-20s and they have not started a family yet, so they are still single and they can still take those risks.
All right, let's promote the event, James. When is this event, or Ed, who wants to tell me about the event?
Sure, the event is going to be held on Saturday, May 11th at noon at in Garden City at 605 Stewart Avenue. And basically, it's going to be me.
Ed, what is noon in military time?
Ooh, 1200.
Okay.
Right. Tough question.
I'm just saying.
Even I knew that.
Our audience is the military, so we want them to know when to show up.
Right, 1200. Okay, we got it.
There's going to be food provided. And
there you go. You just tripled your audience.
Oh, yeah.
The food is just...
I know my audience.
The food is just for Marine and Navy personnel. Army, I don't think they can eat, right?
Oh, I don't know. I think there'll be 12 if we don't feed the army. Everybody's welcome to come.
All right, we'll feed everybody.
And partake in the food. I'm going to be distributing out some flyers. I urge people to come and
yeah, this is a great event. If you're in the military currently serving, or if you're a veteran, come to this event. It's on May 11th, Saturday at noon or 1200 hours. And in Garden City, and if you want to find out about how to get involved in project management, that's what this is all about. So it's terrific.
So I'm going to have some points of contact in there for resume building. corporate partners, of point of contact for corporate partners. And then I'm hoping to have a couple members there from the PMI, from Long Island chapter.
We also have a former captain in the Army.
Right.
And he's currently a very prominent person at Altice USA, and he's going to talk with the group about just making that transition. So that should be a terrific.
And is there any kind of a registration?
There is a registration. It's on the flyer, and I mean, I can pass the flyer over to Cookie.
We'll put it on social media, but can you give the information now?
You can register if you go to PMILIC.org. You'll see the event there, and also on our Facebook page. So if you Google PMI Long Island chapter, you'll be able to find it.
Okay. And what are they looking for? What's it called?
They're looking for careers in project management for military personnel and veterans.
Okay.
And it's PMILIC.org, and you will see it there.
All right. And then they can register. There's no fee, I imagine?
No.
Okay. And so free food. All you got to do is register and then learn about the nuances of project management and how it can help them. And any other services that you can share with them.
Absolutely. And so my intent is just to give them all the information they need to go out there. And
one more time, give the time and the address.
It's going to be at 1200 or noon at 605 Stewart Avenue in Garden City, New York.
On May 11th.
On May 11th.
Okay. Jim, any final comments from you?
I got to quit while I'm ahead, you know. Always, number one rule of show business is always leave them wanting more.
Right? All right. And we do want more. All right. You've been listening to Radio Jobline with Scott Possessor. I want to thank both of my guests. Great job. Captain Ed Vera, Supply Chain Officer, 1st Marine Corps District. James, you know, you're always welcome on Radio Jobline. You are, I have to say this, one of my funnest guests.
Next time I'm going to bring Brian back.
And definitely bring Brian back. Absolutely. And you guys can do your shtick right here on the radio.
Yeah.
And I love listening to it. If you have an idea or show idea for Radio Jobline, or you yourself belong to an organization that does not have a level playing field, give me a call, get in contact with me. I'll give you my email address. It's scottp118@gmail.com. And I'll be happy to have you on the program, feature your subject, invite guests on that go along with the subject, whatever we can do to make you in better shape. You've been listening to Radio Jobline. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hunting.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.